Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon today is A Vision of Heaven. I should tell you that lately I've been having some very clear dreams. And I'm sure these dreams are due to the loneliness of isolation due to this health virus. In one dream, and I'm in a full baseball stadium with thousands of people there cheering and clapping, and I'm actually playing in the game. In the other vision, I'm standing in front of full church pews with hundreds of people preaching. I'm looking forward to that second vision coming true really soon. Have you ever had a dream? A wonderful dream so great you never wanted it to end. Well, one day, St. John the Apostle had something much better than a dream. He had a God-given, glorious vision of heaven. This is how he describes it in Revelation chapter 7. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God on the throne and to the Lamb." What a vision of heaven! What did John see? Who was there? More people than he could ever count from all over the world, all different backgrounds, red and yellow, black and white, all different language groups, all these people, forgiven sinners who had put their faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God, who paid for their sins. What a vision of heaven. And none of us who were included in this vision of heaven, in what John calls a great multitude which no one could number, none of us could ever earn or deserve our way there. Holy Scripture tells us very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one could boast." What a vision of heaven! An eternal gift of God for sinners like you and me and sinners all over the world. Well, to help us better appreciate this wonderful gift and this wonderful vision of heaven, I want you to come with me in your imagination one hot humid night to Lawrence, Kansas. Take your seat with me on Hawk Auditorium and behold, performing there for us tonight, the Leipzig Orchestra, the oldest continuing operating orchestra in the world. The greatest conductors and composers in history have directed this orchestra. It's been around since the days of Beethoven. Now you watch with me as stately Europeans take their places on the stage. You listen as these professional musicians tune their instruments. You sit a little straighter as the lights begin to dim. And here comes the conductor, dressed in a tuxedo with long flowing tails. He strides onto the stage, springs onto his podium, and you and 2,000 other people applaud. 2,000 other people. The conductor lifts his baton, and the audience holds its breath. I've been told there's a second between lightning and thunder. And there's a second of wonderful silence between the raising of the conductor's baton and the explosion of music as the world-famous Beethoven's Third Symphony begins. Ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba. Such was the power of that terribly hot, humid night in Lawrence, Kansas. Now, I mentioned what the weather was like, so you'll understand now why the doors on the stage were both opened. It was hot. It was an historic old building. In those days, it was not air-conditioned. So the outside doors on both sides of the stage were left open, hoping for a breeze for the musicians. And enter stage right, a brown Kansas dog. Not a mean dog, just a curious dog. He pauses between the basses. He makes his way through the violins and the cellos. His tail is wagging with the music. As he passes by the players, he looks at them and they look at him, and the music continues. But then the dog takes a liking to a certain cello. Perhaps it was the passing of the bow at his eye level. Whatever it was, he caught the dog's attention and he stopped and he watched. The cellist wasn't sure what to do. She had never played for a one-dog audience before. But the dog did nothing but watch for a few moments and then move on. Now, had he passed through the orchestra, the music might have continued. Had he made his way across the stage into the beckoning hands of a stagehand, well, the audience may have never noticed him. But he didn't. He stayed at home in the splendor. He visited the violins. He turned his head at the trumpets. Finally, he stopped by the side of the conductor and looked up at the conductor, and Beethoven's Third Symphony came undone. The musicians laughed. The audience laughed. The dog looked up at the conductor and panted. The conductor lowered his baton. A night wrapped in glory, all brought to a stop by a wayward Kansas dog. The chuckles ceased as the conductor laid down his baton and turned. What fury might erupt? This polished, proper, professional German conductor looked down at the dog, looked at the crowd, looked at the dog again, and raised his hands in a universal gesture, "What can I do?" And everybody roared with laughter. The conductor stepped off his podium and scratched the dog behind his ears. The dog wagged his tail again. The conductor spoke to the dog. Now, he spoke in German, but the dog seemed to understand him. And they visited for a few moments until now the soft-hearted conductor took the dog lovingly by his collar and let him off the stage. You'd have thought the dog was a superstar by the way the audience applauded and roared. But then the conductor returned. The music began again, and Beethoven seemed none the worse for the whole humorous experience. Now, can you find yourself in the story? Can you find me in the story? I can. Just call us Fido the dog and consider God the orchestra conductor. Envision the moment when we will walk onto his stage in heaven. Just like the dog, we will have no right to be on God's stage. We will not deserve to be there. We will not have earned it. We know we don't belong there because of our sin-filled lives. But we will walk next to God, stand by his side, look up at him, and worship. God, too, will stop what he's doing and personally welcome us, but he will not lead us away. He will invite us to remain forever as guests by his side because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who paid for our sins and the sins of the world. We can hardly believe it. We, and as John says, the great multitude that no one could number from all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne of God. We are all there. Because someone proclaimed to us God's love to us in his holy word. And through that proclaimed word, we were brought to faith and given forgiveness of sins and heaven. Today, as we realize together that none of us deserve these gifts, we cannot help but share the same love of God with our friends and our neighbors and our families. As John says, to every nation and tribe and people, to people today who need to be reminded in these challenging days of the love of God that never gives up on them. This is the very reason the Christian church continues to exist. This is the very reason our congregation of Trinity Lutheran Church continues to exist, to proclaim the love and forgiveness of God to every tribe, to every people, to every nation. Why? So that more and more people may stand by God's side in heaven like that dog stood by the conductor in that hot, humid night in Lawrence, Kansas. So that John's vision of heaven would become a reality. And let me read it to you one last time from Revelation 7. After these things I looked, and behold, a multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, waving palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God upon its throne and to the Lamb." What a vision of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.